welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Open up the heavens, shout with down your presence. We respond to your great love.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This rich teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for everyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Bishop Samuel Sawyer is an anointed man of God with a special grace for teaching the Word of God and a unique passion for people and positively transforming lives. He is currently the resident head pastor of the Rose of Sharon Cathedral, Accra, Ghana. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teaching as taught in the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong.
A word of prayer. Speak through me, Lord. Have mercy. Use me, O Lord. In this place, let your word be glorified. Let us speak the oracles of Christ, healing, health to our bones. Let your word be. Let it bring revival, individual revival, church revival, family revival. Let there be increase in the realms of the supernatural. Let us have access. Let us have access to the throne of grace, O Lord, by the blood. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Put your hands together. God bless you, worship team. Glad you are in church. Are you sure? Oh, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, this morning we are blessed to have a brand new month, the month of June. And I believe if you are not born in June, I was born. Tell somebody there's Misha in the church. Hey, the first time I heard Misha, I didn't understand it. And I was wondering, what is this thing that is in the church? Then I was told it was joy. This morning, we want to continue with the second part of how to have favor with your boss. I don't think I'll be too long. Believing God to finish on all the points. Quite a number of points that we have. About 22 points. So I want us to read a few scriptures. The underlining scripture for me concerning favor is Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Born in June. And Lady Pastor Jennifer was also born in June. Which on all the points, quite a number of points that we have, about 22 points. So I want us to read a few scriptures. The underlining scripture for me concerning favor is Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Everybody say favor. The word favor means to have, to show kindness to somebody. Or to prefer somebody above another. Or to have a kind of exceptional treatment of somebody. Are you with me? And what we say, how to have favor with your boss, you could also describe it as how to have favor with your father. Or favor with your pastor. Or favor with anybody who God has set above you. Is it a good thing to believe God for? To believe God for favor. Do you want favor? It's not everything that you can just do by your own sweat. Sometimes you need just the favor of God. Yeah. You didn't really deserve it per se. But God favored you. Is that the song that we sing? Deborah. Where is Deborah? It's not the song we sing. God favored me. If the words there, or you've thrown it away. Yeah, if the words are there, find it. And I want you to believe, God, that can be your story. By the time we finish this message, is it not so? How many of us really, really want favor? Can you just sing it softly? Yeah, because I'll be reading the verses.
His patience, caring love, is love.
Be looking for Luke chapter 2, verse 52. I've had my share of love. Oh, abuse. Okay. Together for the Lord, somebody. God bless you. It is dangerous in life when you don't look for the favor of God. Are you listening to me? And I want you to know that God gives favor. So the many verses we want to read, but I think we'll start from Luke chapter 2, verse 52. God bless you, Deborah, for responding so immediately. You are in the message. Prince, God bless you too. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, we want quickly to understand something. This sermon, like every other sermon, is designed to help you to understand something in life. This particular sermon is to help you to have favor with an authority figure over your life. Is it a good thing? Yeah. To have favor with what? An authority figure. Your boss, your father, even sometimes your husband, your pastor, because it dramatically can change your life. When there are two people in an organization and one is favored, when you look at the story in Luke 15, don't go there, we had this two sons, and one was in a sense favored. Both were favored, but the party was done for one of them. May a party be done for you in Jesus' name. But to understand this message better, I need you to begin with favor from God. To begin with what? Favor from God. Because if you mix it up and you don't intentionally look for favor with God first as a primary motivation or desire in your life, by the time you realize you can put God aside and you are just busily looking for favor with a man or favor with your boss. And if your boss tells you something that is against the word of God, you can easily do it, because now God doesn't seem to be important. A lot of people have gone through that. God doesn't seem to be important because they are so much interested in what man would do. But the Bible says that cursed be he who puts his trust in the arm of flesh. Are you with me? Jeremiah 5 says. I want you to look at what Jesus did, the pattern that he set for us. The Bible says, when the child Jesus grew and he increased, I'm paraphrasing Luke 2:52. He increased in wisdom and in stature. May you increase in Jesus' name. Day after day, you must find yourself adding on all aspects of your life, in your mannerisms, in your English, in your gar, in your appreciation of things. There should be some kind of improvement. What do you think? Yeah, you used to get angry quickly. Now, the Bible says that we should be slow to speak. Are you getting me? Quick to hear. James 1 says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You must see yourself increasing. So Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. The Bible says, having favor with God and man. That's the order. Everyone say, with God and man. The Bible could have said, with man and God. That would have changed the sequence. Are you getting me? The same is said of Samuel. Let's look at his story very quickly. The story of the birth of Samuel, which I believe is in the first book of Samuel, the second chapter, verse 26. Let's look at that one very quickly. Can we just read it? The Bible says, and this is for somebody here, and the child Samuel grew on. Tell somebody, grow on. It is a loaded statement. In other words, we can be growing, but we're not growing on. Are you listening to me? He grew on. There are many things that God can give you in life. Are you listening? God can give you a gift. God can give you a special ability. God can give you this and that. But one of the things that God will not give to you is to mature you. You have to learn how to mature yourself. That one is up to you. Tell someone, it's up to you. It's up to you to grow. And they grow by the word of God. The Bible says that as babies, we should desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. New believer teachers. Are there some new believer teachers here? New believer teachers? New believers? Hey, only one. Two. Three. Do you use that verse? As newly born babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. Hey, put your hands together for that guy. He's warm. Tell somebody, grow on. And the child Samuel grew on. He did what? He grew on. My new friend, what's your name again? Jonas, are you growing on? 2016, have there been some growth? Tangible, real. You used to eat one bowl of banku, now you eat two. Oh, that's not the growth you're talking about. It's also a growth, isn't it also? Yeah, but you must grow in other areas. You must grow in the way you know the word of God. You must grow in the way you pray. You must grow in the way, even the kind of Bible you use, you must grow in it. Day after day, year after year, you must desire that there is a kind of growth in you. But specifically, if you look at Samuel, something happened to him. The Bible says, and he was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. The sequence is clear. Tell somebody, the sequence is clear. Who comes first? The Lord. Ask somebody, who comes first in your life? What did the person say? What did he say? Is it real? Is it true? Can we truly say it's the Lord that comes first in our lives? I don't know. But that's what it's supposed to be. So we went through about 10 or so points last week, didn't we? Is it a proper thing if we just go through the points very fast? I can read very, very fast. Can you read very fast? Can you read fast? It's not a problem. Can you listen fast? Huh? Eternity, can you listen very, very fast? Okay. This boy was writing a letter to the grandmother and was writing very, very slowly. So his friend asked him, "Why are you writing so slowly?" He said, "I'm writing to my grandmother." He said, "Ah, but your grandmother, so why are you writing so slowly?" Then the boy said, "She reads very slowly." So we'll just quickly go through the first 10. We went through about 13 points. Listen very quickly. In 13 seconds, we are going through. Number one, see him as one who is placed there by God. Romans 13, verse 1. Number two, recognize and relate. You have the notes. Don't you have the notes? Page 78. Recognize and relate to him as you would relate with God himself. Ephesians 6, verse 7. With goodwill, doing service to the Lord. As to the Lord and not to men. Number three, everybody read with me. Let's all go. What is number three? Be humble towards your boss. Humility is the only way to promotion in the house of God. God bless you. You're welcome, Lady Pastor Patsy. In Matthew 20, verse 27, the Bible says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Tell the person next to you, "Do you want to be promoted?" Tell the person, "Learn to serve." Number four, learn all you can about your job. Learn all you can about your job. And we quoted Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. Isn't it not so? So there's a lot to learn every day. Don't become a lazy person who's not learning. Once upon a time, I hear in one of the missions of one of the diplomatic missions, I think of Ghana, abroad, there were computers was introduced. Computers were introduced in my lifetime. Some of you came to meet computers. Yeah, computers existed before I was born anyway, but it became more and more commonplace from the 80s. Is it true? Yeah, 80s and 90s, especially when Bill Gates came up with Windows, the user-friendly thing. So this man, when computers were introduced, everybody in the office was supposed to go and learn how to use computers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And he started grumbling that, "Hey, let me see, was a damn computer, but the may resign, you know." He said, for him, when they bring the computers, he will resign. Such a person, you can't go far with him. Are you listening to me? Now computers have become almost an everyday thing in whatever we do. To the point that if you are not using computers even in what you do, and those of you who use software, who use smartphones, virtually you are using some kind of application. And it is important that you learn how to use it well so that you can go forward in life. Learn all you can about your job. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Nowadays, you can use computers for almost anything. But some people don't want to learn. They switch on the machine, they hear the sound of the machine, and say, "Hey, what is this?" Get over your technophobia. Overcome every technophobia. Fear of technology. And learn about your job. Say amen. Number five, we said listen to instructions carefully. Listen. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1. Hear, O ye children, the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Number six, what is number six? Let's all go together. 1, 2. Understand the spirit of the instruction. The spirit. Every instruction has a certain sense it wants to communicate. Are you getting me? So, become somebody who takes time to understand. Number seven, that's very important to me. Discover what your boss likes and wants and do it. Make it a job to find out what... Do you have a boss, by the way? No, I'm asking this. Do you have a boss? You really don't have a boss. Okay. How many of you are bosses? You have people under you. I mean, you supervise them. What I'm saying, does it make sense to you? Yeah. How many of you also, you might have a boss, but you're also under somebody. Normally, that's also the way the world goes. You have somebody you are under. You have somebody you're under, let me see. You have somebody you're under. Yeah. Are you taking some notes? Are you learning something? Are you becoming somebody who will find favor with your boss? If I were you, I would be intentionally determining to put these things in place. I'll say something which I told the second service. And I think it's important for all of us. You see, when we get born again, what happens is that we receive Jesus as our personal savior. And it's a spiritual thing. Our spirits are born again. The Bible says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It is the spirit that is renewed. Deborah, are you understanding? The mind is the same. It's the spirit that becomes a new spirit. The mind is the same, it must be renewed. The body is also the same, it must be brought under. Now what happens is that when people get born again, they unfortunately assume that now that they have become born again, they have to throw their mind away. And they abdicate responsibility. Abdicate is a word. Say abdicate. Abdicate. Not Abdallah. Abdicate. They sort of relinquish all responsibilities for their lives. They stop thinking. They stop reasoning. They stop, as it were, making as it is like, oh, impossible. Once they have prayed, that is it. But it's a very dangerous thing. It is the height of irresponsibility to give total responsibility of your actions to God. I know it sounds very, what I'm saying, but it is the height of irresponsibility to give total responsibility of your life on your actions to God. When I say your actions, there's a place that you say, I surrender all unto thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. But there's a place, Eugenia, that God would demand that you take the necessary action. Can you imagine us coming to church today? I said, Lord, I've prayed this morning. I believe in you. I'm going to church. Into God, Pacho, Shemi Pyoto Mami. By that, would I be in church? I'll be lying in my bed. My wife will be asking me, honey. Then I also say, sugar. Tell somebody, honey. Then what's the response? Won't you go to church today? They said, no. I'm waiting for God. Honey, what are you waiting for God for? Oh. Can umbe shame me pyoto. What? Are you getting what I'm saying? Just because I'm born again, I can't do anything. No. But that's how some people behave. It's like God should do everything. It is laziness that has been redescribed. Are you listening to me? So it is the height of irresponsibility just to say that I'm born again now. There's always a part that God has to do, and there's a part that you have to do. Anything that you want to do in life, I've come to realize there's a part that even the miracles that Jesus did. Are you getting me? There was a part. Sometimes the part is you have to believe. Sometimes the part, the man who was sick of the palsy in the book of Mark, who was released from the rooftop. First of all, he needed 6 friends who would, in his sick bed, go and carry him. So if he had not developed 6 friends, Jesus can do the miracle. Do you have 6 friends? Those of you who say I'm a work alone. I don't like people in this church. People, when you are friends with people, then they want to fifi into your life. So as for me, I walk alone. At a point, you need 6 friends. Am I preaching to somebody? And even when they lowered him, the instruction from Jesus was, get up and take up your bed. There was a part he needed to do. It was in the getting up. That's when the miracle also happened. When Jesus had to share, how do you call it, the lunch of a young boy to 5,000 people. There was a part, though he had prayed, there was also a part where the disciples had to do what? They had to go around sharing. So those of us who say that, I'm born again, I don't know why I'm moving into this thing. But I think it's important that all of us sitting here, you realize that there's a part that you have to do. Tell yourself, there's a part I have to do to succeed in life. I have to get up and make something of my life. My children have some music that they play. It says, if you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up. You want to make a music? Wake up. Yeah. You want to become a successful businesswoman? Wake up. You want to listen to a sermon in church? Wake up. This one was for somebody who was just trying to sleep. Number 7. Discover what your boss likes and wants and do it. Isn't that a good thing? Number 8, learn what displeases your boss and avoid these things like the plague. Every boss has something he likes, some he doesn't like. Some bosses don't like it when you are eating and working. So don't eat and work, that's all. Control your appetite, break time, you go and eat. But you are always eating and he's always talking. You are eating, you are talking like that, and then you say your boss is bad. It's too difficult. In Ghana, for example, when a boss is strict and proper, he says that he's too, they say he's too known. They say that he's some way. Or you have professor. Just because he doesn't let you do the wrong thing. Number 9, learn to anticipate your boss's next move. All this we learned last week. How good is it to have a wise worker who can know what is the next thing? Your boss is speaking as I'm preaching right now. I say, probably I need water. Oh, can you get me some water? And then the person, maybe Tony brings me some water. When Tony was my friend, he used to bring me water in church. Now this is tough. And then he brings the water, and then maybe as I'm there, I know he has brought the water. And then as I'm preaching, I stretch forth my hands for the water. And then what does he do? He also gives me a high five. As I said, then he slaps. No, he just gives me a hand. Then he gets. 30 seconds ago, I asked for water, and I'm preaching, and he said, what a shock. Anticipate your boss's next move. Tell your friend, anticipate your boss's next move. You work at a shop, you have opened the shop, he's arranging the things. Take a duster and start dusting the things. You are standing there, titinto. Titinto is a word. Waiting to be told what to do. Meanwhile, we have opened the shop and there's dust. It rained yesterday, so the wind brought some dust. Take a duster and start cleaning. Do something. It shows that you are intelligent, you are wise, and your boss will be happy with you. Say amen. I'm taking my time, okay? Number what? 10. Repeat his instructions to be sure you understand them. Everybody say repeat. Tell your neighbor pardon. Look, when you don't hear something, don't smile. Don't give a sheepish smile. Okay. No. Repeat. Say it. If you tell him, écoutez bien, you know écoutez bien. Yeah, say it again. That's French for écoutez bien. Tell someone écoutez bien. Say please, say come again, and repeat the instructions, okay? Number 11, start writing when your boss starts speaking. Start writing. For those who don't like writing, I'm begging you, learn. You can take it a step further. If you have one of these smartphones, you can even speak into your phone. You don't want to forget. I'm not saying go and record your boss. Number 12, do not be jumbled up and confused in his presence. Maybe the first time you started working with him, you were a little nervous, etc. But after some time, tell somebody after some time, you got to relax, okay? Be composed and ready for every task. You don't want somebody around you who doesn't seem to have his wits around him. Especially if you are driving. Once upon a time, I asked a young man to drive me to the Volta region. Hey, I took it upon myself that because it was the first time he was driving me, I said, I'm also going to make sure. Sometimes the boss can also be a little some way, if I might use that word, so that people get nervous. So I told myself that I'll just keep on encouraging. Oh, he was composed, relaxed. This, but I could feel a little like tension. So I was also determined to make sure that, because my life was also at stake. Sure. If he gets tense and it is red and he goes through, we are all in trouble. The last time I went through a red light, how they chased me. I haven't told my wife, so don't ask me. The policeman chased me. Number what? 13. I think we stopped at 13 last week, isn't it? So, be dressed properly and decently whenever he's present. Young men, those of you who wear utofista, it's not good. We don't like it in the office. We don't like it. You look like a hooligan. Yeah. You look like, and young ladies, don't wear that mini skirt and follow your boss. That day he wanted to go to a special meeting. When he takes you along, he might lose the contract because the people will say that, hey, this business partner, what afternoon, what is he doing with a prostitute? What are you saying? If you are not properly dressed, you cannot. My wife is a boss. She said, you won't follow. Can you imagine your boss is going for a deal? I mean, some business, something. And that day when you arrive, he hadn't told you, but of course, you go with him sometimes to different. And then that day that he wanted to take you, that day too is when you went to wear that handkerchief as a skirt. Oh, he will not be happy with you. So when he arrives at that business meeting, you have spoiled his image. Are you getting me? You thought it was nice, but it wasn't decent and presented. Learn to throw some dresses away. Tell the nearest brother and the nearest sister that throw some dresses away. Tell the person, better still, give it out. Yeah. Today, and we are doing number 14 today, and I have 11 minutes, 51 seconds. Can you come with me? Do what you are asked to do immediately. Do what you are asked to do when? 2 days later? When? Immediately. Some people would always be waiting for a while before they kick off. But if I were you, when I have an assignment, the time to begin is what? Now. Now. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Come with me. I want to help somebody this morning. I want to help somebody this morning. But I don't know whether you want to help yourself. I don't know whether you want to help yourself. Maybe let me just give you another scripture that will make our meeting go a little faster. Come with me to the same book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9. I want to give you this particular scripture rather. Am I allowed to change the scripture? Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, this is Jesus, and Jesus was recruiting some people. The Bible says in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And what did he do? The Bible says, and he arose and followed him. Can you do an instruction immediately? No, it's a question that I'm asking you. Or you want to dilly-dally with it? You want to toy? You want to do this? You want to do that? Your bosses have to warm up to you when you deal with this urgent request. And carry out an instruction that comes. This morning when I was about to preach, in fact, when I was preaching, and I saw that there were some ants on my chair. Are you listening? I don't know where they came from. I don't know whether they were demons, but it was only on my chair. So I curse the ants. I rebuke the ants in the name of Jesus. Then I also, maybe there are demons that have manifested or some bishops that are walking around. Maybe some bishops have turned into ants. So I asked the, what's the name? I asked the ashes. You know, but listen very carefully. I'm very serious about it. An usher normally ushers people into the church, isn't it so? And they are busy. If I'm talking about do instructions immediately. If, for example, when I asked the usher to come and clean or take away, they did not. And they kept on doing whatever. And later, I went to sit on the chair. And as I sat on the chair, ipew. The ant started biting me. Would I be happy with that, Asha? And their reason is that, oh, they were ushering. I've seen it before. The reason is what? They were ushering. Meanwhile, there was an instruction they were supposed to follow immediately. Are you here with me? Are you here or you have gone home? Number 15, never stop routine jobs until instructed. This is a very important one for me. Never stop what? Routine jobs. Everyone say routine. Some routine activities will never be checked unless there is some problem or the other. And often it is in a time of crisis that the negligence of routine work is discovered. And that is the point where many people lose their jobs. Let me give you a quick example. How many of you have been to a factory? David, you are welcome. Is that Pastor David? Wow, God bless you. How many of you, is good to see you? Did you come with your family? Wow! Where's my daughter? And my grand? She's breastfeeding somewhere. Wow! Too happy to see you. Some people, when you see them, you're just happy. Yeah, because when they work with you, they found favor by the things that they did. How many of you have gone to an organization before and they ask you to write your name at the entrance? Yeah? Your name, your telephone number. Yeah. I live in the country. You write your name, your telephone, and then you have to leave an ID card. Yeah. You've been to a country like that before. You leave it. Everybody carries an ID card. And you leave it at the reception, either at the gate or inside. Now, why do they do that? Because they want to know what is going on. Maybe there's a receptionist who has been given instruction. Make sure everybody writes his name. And then the receptionist, one day you're sitting, whatever. Watch it. And the Talia was enjoying the Talia so much that he forgot. And something happens in the organization. Now we want to find out. It happened on the 2nd of June. We pick the book. A big book. And we are looking. 2nd of June. Who came here on 2nd of June? When we open, 2nd of June is blank. Routine. A routine tax. Just write the name. You didn't. So now we don't know who came in. Because it has happened to me before. I asked somebody, write the name, make sure. And then something happened. When I picked the book to find out who came to the office that day, blank. Is somebody listening? You are too quiet. I say you are too quiet. Never stop routine jobs until what? Instructed. Maybe your boss likes tea in the morning. Just bring the tea. Just because the last time you went in the office 10 a.m. you're sitting fufu doesn't mean he has changed his mind. Bring the tea. Number 16. This number 16, if I wish I could stop on it because it's a loaded point. Carry out all instructions to their logical conclusion. Carry out what? All instructions to their logical conclusion. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Is it 1 Samuel chapter 15? Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's read the scripture. The book of Samuel. If you are there, say amen. Carry out all instructions to their logical conclusion. This is for somebody here. Everybody listen to me. Almost every job that you are given has multiple obstacles that has to be overcome. Almost every instruction has series of, when the person says do this, when the person says call me Johnny Waskaracha,
I said, call me, come, call me, John Waskaracha. Come, John Waskaracha. The first place, who is John Waskaracha? You have to find out who John Waskaracha is. Secondly, you have to find out where his location is. Thirdly, you have to find out what language he speaks. Do you understand? Fourthly, you have to find out even how he can come. I'm helping somebody. I don't know whether you are being helped. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's a story, the very, very famous story of God through the prophet Samuel instructing King Saul to carry out a very specific instruction. What was the instruction? To destroy a group of people called Amalekites, because they had disturbed the children of Israel when they were moving from Egypt to, what's the name? Where did they move from? Egypt to Jamaica. Canaan. Listen very carefully. The Bible says, go, and this is the instruction, thank you. Go, in verse 3, go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. Everybody say, spare them not. It's like, I've called you. I said, I'm the class teacher. We have asked a question. You know that thing where we ask a question, nobody, and then you are the one who can answer. And I say, go around, give everybody a knock. Do you want this area or you want this area? Which area is easy to knock? Eternity says, come here. Okay, you want here? And say, go and knock everybody here. Elizabeth, Regina is there. See, if she gives you one blow, you'll come back. Go and knock what? Everybody. How many of you have experienced that thing before? When the teacher has asked a question, you are the only person. And when you are knocking, then you see somebody say, hey, this one. If you tempt, break time. It will not be easy. If you tempt this one. That was Samuel's problem, Saul's problem. The Lord said, slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, that's in Kola Kola, ox and sheep, camel and ass, kill everybody. Hey, the question is, God knew why he wanted. Your boss knows why he says, do this. Are you getting me? Carry out instructions to the logical conclusion. Don't come with excuses. Don't come. The last Sunday I had a meeting and we came up with 70 excuses. Nowadays, I've decided that I don't ask, from 28th May 2015, I don't accept excuses again. I don't accept excuses. If you come and you start making excuses, I make my face at you. And I'm producing the CD. Are we producing the CD? We are producing the CD. And once you start now, I just say, you just, I have more. How many? I ask you, first of all, how many excuses are you coming to give me? They always say five. I say, no, I have 95 more. Yeah, because what's the point? If you wanted somebody to give excuses, we can hire any kindergarten girl to come and give excuses. That's how Africa is like. You employ somebody to do something, a minister of state, he will come and tell you why and how the economy is this, the rainfall pattern, the this, the that, the weather change, and then the river is low, and the Chinese, the galamsey. Chinese galamsey. Who allows them to come into the country? Did they do juju and then did they do something? They touch the wall in China and they arrive in the bush. Don't they pass through our airports? Don't they go through immigration? Yeah. I live in the country. Sometimes I used to invite people to that country. When I go for their visas, I am organizing a visa. The immigration people, I knew all the immigration people. The immigration to the top. They will give me the whole book of people who have applied for visas for the season. So I should go through. And then if I see my visitor, then I take the note of the numbers and then they process quickly. And as I'm going through, I can see all the people who have been invited to that country. Most of the time, Chinese are the highest, followed by Indians. And then some Africans. Don't they pass through immigration to arrive? Then we start complaining that the Chinese, that this, that. Don't we give them letters? Or what? Don't they go and see a chief? Is there not a chief in the country? Is there not a chief in that village? Why are waters being polluted? Can't people see? But we give the excuses because we don't want to sack somebody. And we are all suffering. And Ghana Water and Sewerage Corporation is spending 10 times more money on removing impurities from our water. And we are all suffering. All because somebody is not carrying instruction to a logical conclusion. Are you with me? When I start talking about some of these things, I get heated up. Listen, Samuel told King Agag, destroy. And listen to, I said King Agag, he told Saul. Listen to Saul, what Saul's response is. The Bible says in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 15, and I'm just about to close. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and will not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. They choose. The instruction that was given, they took part of the instruction, then they took another part of the instruction. The worst part of it, and I'm about to close, is when Saul was asked, why? Then he started saying what some of you people say. I am also guilty, and I have repented. No more excuses. Tell somebody, no more excuses. No, say no more excuses. Go and look for three people, shake their hand, and say no more excuses. Tell the person, we will accomplish the task. Tell the person, we will solve problems. No more excuses. No more. No more. No more. Listen. In verse 13, I'm just about to close. We will not end this thing today. We are not in a hurry. Are you learning something? May you have favor with your boss in Jesus' name. Look, some of the things, it is not just in Bible. I'm praying, Father, in the name of Jesus. Today when I go to work, I pray that my boss, he will like me. He will like me, pa. He will like me. Lord, today I've done my hairstyle. I've done mascara. I've done eyeshadow. I've done lipstick. Oh, Lord, hey, let my boss help me. Oh, yeah. You can do all the mascara. You can paint your face until you are looking like a reggae man. Looking like a reggae man. In verse 13, are you in verse 13? In this church, may we have people who are responsible. Hallelujah. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, this is the prophet and the king. Blessed, and look at the lie that came on top. Blessed be thou of the Lord. Listen, if you're a pastor, some of the things you learn not to hear them. When they come with raps, oh, man of God, bishop. You might as well have said Mickey Mouse. Yeah, because the thing that is in your heart is not really daddy. Sometimes I understand it when bishop says all these things because I also relate with him. I thought that maybe he said, do this, and maybe I'm not finished doing it. Bishop, daddy, I understand it. But the key is that you have to learn how to carry instructions out. It's not something, not one day, we know, but you need to be on it. Tell somebody, I'm on it. Tell somebody, get on the job and stop those excuses. We have heard it. We are tired of the excuses. Why this can't work? Why this can't? Why this? And sometimes you see, the dangerous thing is that when you say the excuses so much, you yourself, you tend to believe the excuses. When you say the excuses are now you yourself, you tend to do what? You tend to believe that, and you are wondering why the person is so doesn't seem to understand, why your boss doesn't seem to understand that. But the thing is that you are lazy. The thing is that you are not learning about your job. The thing is that you didn't even believe that you could do it, and you have been told do it. There's no reason why we cannot have 100 cars parking outside. There's no reason. We will do it. We might not be able to park here, but we can park there. We can park at the lot. We can park at the total. We can park here. We can. There's no reason why somebody should come to church and not feel like coming again. We will become a warm church. I didn't hear amen. A church that is warm and nice and sweet. Not just a church that relates to people of their type.
Some people, they can't relate to people who are not their type. As soon as the person cannot speak Ga, then they write the person off. Who are you? Who are you? Did God make only Gas? Did God make only Ga? Did God make only Evers? That said that if he cannot speak in the Ever tongue, then that one, the person, you know, there are some people like that. Yeah, once they cannot speak with you in their own language, it's like they are writing you off. We are going to be a multi-dimensional, international, interracial church. If you believe, let me hear loud, amen. And it's going to start from you. Other people are your type. There are some people when they see people, all that they can think of them is to beg for something. Then they make their face something. There are some people when they see people who are well dressed. When they are well dressed, and they're looking at them like, hey, look at their hair. Hey, you think it's Brazilian hair? We know. This is your hair. This hair. Togo hair. You can't even admire things. Oh. When we say deep sea fishing, you are a shepherd. Do deep sea fishing after church. Deep sea fishing, somebody you have never spoken to before. Just go to the person and say, hello, my name is Samuel. Can I be your friend? And when I'm going to say it, they'll say, I like her. So after church, when we ask, did you do deep sea fishing? They say, I know everybody. Can you know everybody? Or I didn't see anybody. Oh, I was this. I went out. You see, that time I went out to Kwame Alaji was calling me, so I went out to take the call. When I finished, then KK Kabobo came, and then after that, now come here, and then before then, by the time I realized everybody had gone. Oh, we've got you. Logical conclusion. Can we do that? Can we be a church that receives everybody? This church must be a church that have millionaires in the church. Who will not feel intimidated that as you are coming to say hello, you are probably come to ask for lunch. People should be able to wear nice things. Nice. Nice things. Okay, this church, the way they are dressed, when I go there, metum, I'll look to, hey. No, I'm serious. I'm very, very, and it's going to start from all of us. If you're a shepherd, there's an instruction to form a ministry, form it. Don't give an excuse. A cell. Create that cell. You are not the first person to be asked to create a cell. We are not the first church to be creating cells. Why can't we create cells? Why are we so special? When we cut our skin, is it zome that comes as zome, or it is the same blood? If the same blood, then we can also have a cell. We can have 100 cells without excuses. The rainfall pattern in Ghana is the same. I did geography. How many of you did geography? Yeah. And in geography, we learned that Ghana, we are in the tropical zone, where we have a rainforest belt, we have the wind pattern to be prevalent from, a certain month to a certain month. It moves from the southeast to the northwest. 9 months of the year. And then from November to about January, it comes rather from the Sahara Desert, bringing the Harmattan. We know the rainy season. You tell us that we can't have a cell because of rains. You can't have cells because of rains. We cannot have cells because of rain. But we can poo-poo because of rain. I'm tired of hearing some of these things. I'm tired. Those of you who are coming to start new cells, I don't want to have excuses. Break the barriers. Break every barrier. Conquer every obstacle. They say that when the choleric saw the obstacle, he saw a stone in his way. He said, give me a hammer. Give me a bulldozer. boom, 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 boom. He makes a way. May you make a way in Jesus' name. When the lazy man or the phlegmatic saw the rock, he also saw the same obstacle. Do you know what he said? Ebenezer. This is how far the Lord has brought us. The Lord has made a resting place for his servant. It will not be your story in Jesus' name. Is it your marriage? You will break through and have a good marriage in Jesus' name. Is it your business? You will break through and have a good business in Jesus' name. Now it doesn't look like what you like. But as you persist and as you push on, I'm speaking to somebody, I don't know who I'm speaking to. Listen to Samuel, we are closing. I said we are closing on this point. Learn to carry instructions to the logical conclusion. In verse 13, Samuel came to Saul and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Nonsense. Tell somebody nonsense. You now, you wanted to say nonsense to the person. Say it. Tell the person, this nonsense must stop. It was a poster for a convention. Verse 14, and Samuel said, What meaneth then this? Bleating. This bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And listen. I want to take you to verse 19. I just want to take you somewhere in the week just close. Karia mama sokotori ki reka sokotori yanda yanda. Let me take you to verse 20 and verse 21. When Samuel was asking Saul, Saul said, I have done everything. But listen to Samuel in verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. It wasn't so. Why is the guy who's coming to knock the people? Why are you are getting ready to knock the people? You are getting ready to knock them. Yeah. That was the instruction. But the people, church, I'm closing. This is an excuse. Everyone says the people. Instead of the king doing what he had to do, he had the mandate. Saul had what? The mandate. It's the same like Pontius Pilate. When he had the mandate, the power to release one prisoner every year to the people, he had the choice of releasing one of the notorious criminals, Barabbas. And he had the choice of either also releasing an innocent man, Jesus. I'm speaking to somebody. Listen to what King Saul said. He said, People, everybody point your finger at me. Point your finger. But not at me, but you point. But that's what King Saul was saying. That's you, the ministry shepherd, when you are not able to build a ministry. But the people took of the spoil. Who was in charge? Who was in charge? King Saul was in charge. But he was saying what? The people. That's why I say it's the height of irresponsibility to abdicate your Christian responsibility to God. Yeah. The people are saying that. The people. They took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice. And they give a spiritual reason to sacrifice. They wanted to make a sacrifice. That is where we have the famous statement in the next few verses. Verse 20 says, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as he has? Is it there? Verse 22. Quick. We are just closing. It said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Tell somebody to obey is better than sacrifice. Do the right thing and marry. Obey is better than sacrifice. I'm ending my sermon here and my instructions to this man here.
We have learned how to follow instructions. How to have faith. Do you want favor with me? Yeah. I came to your baby naming ceremony. I was driving to Mampong, but I made a detour from Tema. I set off around 6 a.m. to get here by 7 to do your baby naming. Then from there, move in the other direction, climb a mountain. So it means I love you. To come and give a name to your boy, Samuel Samuel Nyumonyo. Beautiful baby. So I'm giving you an instruction from here. Are you ready? I want him to knock everybody's head. 1, 2. Put your hands together, stand to your feet as you close. Maria Mama Shakata Kabrokotoyande Yakatayanda. I want you to pray for yourself for a moment. Pray that you will be somebody who finds favor in the sight of God and in the sight of your boss. Pray. And I want you to understand something. A lot of the time, the problem is not your boss. A lot of time, the problem... Reverend Frank, you have to help me to end this service. A lot of time, the problem is not your boss. Pray, wherever you are. Pray. Pray. Pray.
Pray, commit yourself to the Lord's hands. Pray that you have favor in the sight of God and the sight of your boss. Like Bishop explained, your boss can be your pastor, our father, the bishop. The boss can be your service head, can be your ministry head, can be your husband, your boss, can be your elder brother who is taking care of you. Your boss can be the person who is teaching you a job. You need favor with all these persons. Pray that, Lord, the grace of God will be upon you to have favor. Father, we thank you. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful to hear these words. We pray, the Lord, and
here we go. Let's go to the throne, the place that we belong, right to his arms.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. For copies of this message and other messages by Bishop Samuel Sawyer, please contact the following numbers: 0243-210-323 or 0206-485-107. If you are calling from outside Ghana, please begin with 00233 and email us at samsawyer@yahoo.com. We invite you to visit us every Sunday morning at Rose of Sharon Cathedral, former Olympia Cinema, at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30 a.m. Our youth and children's service also come on at 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. On Tuesday evening, we meet at 6 to 8 p.m. for our midweek service. And on Friday evening, we meet from 6 to 8 p.m. for our loyalty and faithfulness service. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055, +233-26767-6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.